This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We are on day one of the activities for the Magi Fest 2022 here in Columbus, Ohio. And I say day one because actually it's the first full day. If I was saying this more correctly, actually this is day two, which is the proper way of relating to this day. But yesterday really was a half day, but it was fairly full with a lot of things we had. And here to talk about it with me is someone who is one of the friends of the Magic Words, and that is Rick Herbert. Hey there, Rick.
Hey, morning, Scott.
So glad you were here, and thanks for joining me last night on the Magic and Martinis virtual happy hour also.
Enjoyed that. That was really interesting.
It was a lot of fun, and I was expecting there would be more people who would have been coming in, but I guess it has to do with kind of a little bit of a lower attendance this year than what they've had in the past.
I can't imagine. I know they said they're about half attendance, but the room when we were in the lectures and stuff last night, the place was filled up, it seemed like.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, did you notice that the seats were kind of a little bit further apart? They weren't really butted up to each other like normal.
And I did like that.
Yeah. Well, for me, as an older person, I like to have a little bit wider room, a little bit more knee room. You know?
Yeah, it was nice to have a little knee room. And
everything was first class last night, seating-wise.
It was. It did seem, and everything so far has been first class.
Yes, it has. Speaking of first class and the shows and everything, then last night, I think the registration was smooth. Again, everybody had to check to see if you were vaccinated or at least you had a negative test, and just kind of slid right in, and everything was smooth for me.
Yeah, everything went smoothly for us. We got right up there, showed our cards, got our badges, and it went real well.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about the shows. To begin with, we had Jason Andrews, who was talking about gambling, and then we had Garrett Thomas, who had lectured. Then we took a little bit of a break, came back, and then we had two people on the show, Martin Holzlau, I believe, and Stash, somebody. But I can't remember who that other one was. And then finished up with Mike Machado with a lecture last night. That's kind of a quick recap of what happened last night. But among those things, what was one of your highlights or things that stood out for you?
I really enjoyed the gambling demonstration. A lot of that stuff I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. A lot of it you can never imagine.
From Jason England.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I'd like to see some of the stuff. He said he brought some things with him. I'd like to actually see some of the things that he brought. Some of that stuff I'd never even had any idea existed. And the way guys can cheat and stuff like that is just amazing. To what extent they'll go to be able to cheat.
Well, that's true. I think that it would be interesting to see a lot more of the things that he had. When I used to work out in the oil field as a youth, I remember there were guys who would bet on anything just because they liked to bet. They would bet on which bird was going to fly first off of a line. You know, there'd be a bunch of birds that say, okay, I'm betting the one on the left. How about the one third from the right? You know?
Yeah, it's crazy what guys will bet on. But, you know, when you're gambling like that, the more you can set the odds in your favor, the more you're going to win, of course. And that's, you know, some of that stuff that he was showing that guys had come up with, I mean, it would be unimaginable. I can't imagine how you would think of doing some of that stuff.
Well, it was some of that was really fairly sophisticated from the standpoint of, like, let's say loaded dice. It wasn't just, you know, putting lead in one side, but also it was adjustable. So you tap it to go down to the other end to make the other side weighted.
Yeah, and what's amazing is some of the stuff was from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. You know, and back then,
right?
I mean, it would be tough to do that kind of stuff. I mean, easy marking cards now and stuff, but back then, you know, how would you have that technology to be able to do that kind of stuff back in the old days?
Well, and that was interesting, too, because he said, do you think this is high tech? No, this was like 1970. How about this? No, that's from 1980. Well, how about this? No, it was started back in the 1800s, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like you would see something, you think, oh, yeah, I can see that being happening today, but like you said, it's 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago the guys were doing this stuff. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it went, I thought it was very fascinating, and it was one thing after another. It wasn't just cards. It was all kinds of stuff, you know. I'm going to have a chance to chat with Jason England later. He said, haven't I already talked with you before? He said, I think I've been on every podcast but yours, and so I'm going to get together with him. We'll have a chat later.
But, yeah, I'll enjoy that one.
Yeah. That's you. Okay. Well, looks like they're calling you for breakfast. Thanks, Rick.
Good talking with you, Scott.
Good talking with you. Yep, drop your mask right there. Okay. So the Magic Word Podcast. We'll talk some more with some other people a little bit later then, too. But that was Rick Herbert for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. And waiting breakfast, and there's a long line. We're not going to have time. I'm not going to have time. We're going to go across the street to Starbucks, I think. But we're into some other friends over here. Randy VanderWalt. Hey, Randy. How are you?
Hello. Good morning.
You're not too far away from where you live, up in Michigan.
Michigan, right.
Is that right?
Grand Rapids area, yes. Yeah.
So that's only about 4 hours?
A good four and a half.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rick, Howard, how are you?
I live close to him. I'm in Holland, Michigan.
Really?
On the West Coast.
I used to have an aunt who lived in Holland, Michigan. I've only been there once, and I remember, going when I was a little kid for her funeral. You know, had the shoes, the Holland.
Yeah, the Dutch shoes everywhere. Yeah.
Rockholm Gardens or something, was that there? No, it's not Rockholm, but they had some other kind
of... They have the island, the Windmill Island and everything there,
I remember that as a kid. Like,
yeah, the Tulip Festival in May, the Flower Festival, yeah.
So, convention-wise, I know, Randy, you come all the time. Do you come to this convention very often?
Pretty regularly for the last 5-6 years, yeah.
And what is it that you have been looking forward to seeing or hearing at this, or have you just come because it's the Magi Fest?
You start to recognize faces, and, Magic is a pretty close family and community, so all the big names will talk to you like they're your next-door neighbor, and you have a lot of similar interests, and there's always the dealer's room with the new things coming out, but the lectures are great. They're just unparalleled. You get a lot of information in a small, short period of time.
I had a couple of good lectures last night with Garrett Thomas, and which you're going to be going to his session here again later shortly, and then with Mike Machada, then later last night too. Did you enjoy those?
Oh, there's really not a lecture here I don't enjoy. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Randy, how about you? What's one of your favorites so far that you've seen last evening?
Oh, I enjoyed Garrett Thomas' lecture and the show. It was excellent. But I reiterate what Rick said, too. There's just so much to learn and enjoy here in the camaraderie. So that's why I like to come.
Yeah. Do you come looking for new tricks? And it used to be when I was younger, I would have like a list of things I wanted to look at and see and then buy. And then it got so, I'm just going to go in and just be amazed by whatever and buy something. And now it's kind of like, I don't really need a lot more. But I still find the dealer's room fascinating.
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, it's an addiction. I have a huge magic room, most of which is unopened. I get convinced into doing it, and I say, one of these days when I retire, I'll have time to go through it. But
trust me, I'm retired. And
yeah,
no, you don't.
You don't. I think one of the things I look forward to most is, you'll see things that are much more amazing that you'll know are not gimmicked, or they may be gimmicked, but learning new ways to do things that are more simple. You'll find a new way to do a double or a new way to do some of these other things that make routines that you might have shied away from much easier and more amazing.
Yeah. Anything, Randy, you're looking at particularly buying? You came here with money in your pocket to buy this book or something?
That, but then, you see some new items on the market. It's like, whoa, cool. And I saw that last night. Walked in, and it's like the first two tables I went to, it's like, whoa.
Now, that's what you've just said there is why people should come to conventions. I believe there are a lot of reasons why people are not attending conventions, of course, because of COVID and everything else. But still, prior to that, conventions have not been as attended as well as they used to be. And I think that's because you can buy a lot of things online, you can watch things being demonstrated through video, you can download this or that or whatever. But coming in and seeing something, that you just happen to see a demonstration by a dealer doing that, that's going to really excite you, I think, a lot more than just, surfing online.
Yeah, and you can ask questions. You can be coached when you purchase it. And many things that I purchased a year ago that I picked up and thought, well, I'm just not getting this part, I can tell the person, hey, help me through this, and they can show me. And there's places, you can never go wrong that, items that are well thought out, but so accomplishable by anybody, like Mark Mason's
table. Like Mark Mason just walked by.
And Paul Richards, his table, just always phenomenal. Just comes up with very, very great things that are simple to do. And, we're always looking for deals. I think the guys that sell the most are the ones that put a package together and, you knock some money off of it. Everybody wants to.
Well, you touched on another point there, Rick, where you can also get some tips a lot of times from the people who invented the darn trick,
exactly,
who are at the convention,
Yeah, and they're very approachable, like I said. They're just like, friends next door. For some reason, I don't know if magic just doesn't get the same notoriety that other performance venues do, but you know, anybody that's gotten into it, you can see somebody do something astounding, and the average layperson might say, yeah, that's a great trick, but someone who knows magic will say, wow, this person just did some sleights that were absolutely amazing. I mean, he's not getting enough credit for
right.
it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something Max Maven has said a long time ago. We are in a unique area of entertainers where, let's say years ago, he was using this example of you wouldn't go backstage and after Frank Sinatra's show to say, hey, I'm a singer too. You know, but here it's like, hey, I'm a magician too.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. And people sit at tables and session, and even if you don't really have something down or you're not very good, the people sitting around will give you pointers, and you know, it's a very friendly environment, non-critical.
Yeah. Wow. Well said. Yeah. Any other comments, Randy?
No, it's just it's like a carnival for magicians. I would think that's what conventions are. I think we all need that fun atmosphere, so it's healthy to get to a convention if people can.
It does show the variety, I guess, of not only personalities but also of interests. Where you have, the complete spectrum at these larger conventions. We, you know, some conventions are more specialized, where it may just be for cards or close-up or mentalism or whatever it happens to be. But this one thing that stands out to me, number one, are the sessions that are late night. You know, a lot of people, mostly kids, are staying up late like I used to. And number two, speaking of kids, it's a lot younger demographic that's here, I think.
Right.
You notice that?
Yes. I also think that, you know, Josh and Andy have done a great job with, you know, taking over the conference. But also, you know, their youth program is phenomenal. They have all sorts of things that kids that, you know, are shy or afraid to get into it, they have programs. I mean, these people like Lance Burton at the IBM convention, you know, had a free session for kids. I mean, what a generous person, you know, and just trying to pass it on and give kids encouragement young so they don't, you know, just get fearful of it and walk away from it.
Right. Yep. That's very true. I do like the fact that everyone really does rub shoulders and it's like they got time to talk. I mean, you know, and people are approachable. But someone who's going to a convention the first time, they may think the person isn't really approachable. But then they start to realize before long, hey, we're kind of all peers,
right,
you know,
right. We all have
regardless.
The same addiction.
Yeah.
We all need
very
counseling.
Well put. We have the same addiction. And our counseling happens at least once a year at these conventions. Where we get our therapy,
right,
you know.
Right.
Or our addiction filled. Well, listen, thank you guys very much for your time. I hope you enjoy the continuing to the convention, and I'll talk with you guys a little bit later.
Right, good.
So that was Rick Howard and also then Randy VanderWaal. And for the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. We just started the afternoon or morning sessions, actually. And again, as we've talked about before, this is part of Magi Fest University, and we have you get to select two out of three different classes that are being taught. And I went to one here this morning with Ken Weber, and next one I'm going to go here. Oh, Ken Weber talking about speaking and performing magic and directing, et cetera, and how better to improve your shows. And next I'm going to go hear Pete McCabe about scripting magic. But I've got somebody with me here who does not attend a lot of conventions because he's from Guatemala. And I'm looking at his name tag here. Gonzalo Ortiz Jaman.
Mm-hmm. Is that close?
Gonzalo Ortiz Jaman, yeah.
Jaman, okay. And you're from Guatemala?
I'm from Guatemala, yes.
Okay. So tell me, do they have many conventions down there then? Or?
I don't know of any conventions down there. I know of one in Cuba, but not in Guatemala. There are a couple.
Did you go to Magic Cuba by chance?
I didn't.
Okay.
I haven't been to Cuba. I'd like to, though. In Guatemala, there are only two magic clubs that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not that much of magic culture there.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't used to go to pay to see magic shows. They are mostly used to seeing them for free at an attraction park or something like that.
But do they have television magic on television much down there then? Or
not
like
really.
We have in the States?
No, almost none. I haven't seen.
You don't see like Penn and Teller or any of those?
No, not
shows.
At all.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So this was your second Magi Fest, is that right?
Second convention. Yeah, second convention. I was at the Genie Convention in 2019, yeah.
And so why did you choose this to come to?
I'm a big fan of Darwin, Ortiz, also Dennis Baer, Paul Gernot. I wanted to see Apollo Robbins. So when I found out that all of them were coming, I just decided I had to be here.
Uh-huh.
So I put together some money and managed to get here in time. So yeah.
And so, yeah, it's too bad you won't be able to see Paul Gertner, but it sounds like you kind of get to see everybody else as part of your heroes that you were looking forward to seeing here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm half German, so getting to...
Do you speak any German?
I do a little bit, yeah. Getting to meet Dennis and hang out with him will be also pretty fun. I signed up for his workshop as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Do you ever use Dennis Baer's online library resource?
Oh, all the time. If I'm looking for a palm from the center of the deck, I just enter that into the Conjuring Archive, and a lot of things pop up, and sometimes on books that I have. So it's a great resource for any magician, I think.
Some people may not know what I'm talking about. What is the website name?
It's the Conjuring Archive, I think it's called.
Okay.
Just write that on Google, and it's the first site that pops up.
Yeah.
You can, all right, I think
it's free.
It's free, yeah. Dennis takes donations, so if anyone can help with that, I'm sure he'd be grateful. You can just enter any like word or anything you're looking for, a book, and you'll find an index on most books in
right.
Magic, yeah.
Now, we've only had like a half a day last evening. How'd you enjoy the shows and lectures last night?
I enjoyed it a lot, yeah. Jason England in particular, I met him last year in Vegas, but I like that he spent more time talking about gambling devices more than gambling sleight of hand. It was a different side of him that I didn't know that much about, and I found it pretty interesting.
Now, you say in Las Vegas, you were not there for a magic convention. Why did you go to Vegas?
I was supposed to be at Magic Life last year, but it got postponed. So,
but you kept your flight and you went anyhow.
Yeah, I had already booked the hotel, bought the tickets, everything. So I went anyway, went to see a couple of shows. I saw Matt King, met with Jason, and saw David Copperfield as well. So it was a lot of fun.
It was worth the money in the trip up here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. It was really, really fun.
So are you going to be coming back to this again in the future? Or
I hope so. Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of... I don't actually perform right now, just a handful of gigs a year maybe, but I'm thinking of getting into it more, so I hope I can keep coming to this convention. I love meeting people, and yeah.
What kind of magic do you prefer to do? I mean, obviously, that is through Vanishing Ink, you probably bought a lot of your equipment and stuff, but do you like close-up or stage or mentalism or kid shows, adults or colleges? What kind of thing, or you like everything right now?
I do mostly card magic. I've been... learning for 7 years, more or less, mostly card magic and mostly on a table.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I do. So yeah. Dennis Baer, Darwin Ortiz, those type of guys do similar magic to the stuff I like.
Are there many magicians in and around where you are there in Guatemala?
Not that I know of. I went to a competition they had last year in January. The level was okay, but it's not as evolved as it is in some other places, like here,
right.
For example.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, great. Nice meeting you. Thank you so very much for your thoughts on this. Especially since it was your second convention, I just kind of want to get something that's kind of from a newbie perspective, so, plus an international flavor then as well. So thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us then, and good luck. Enjoy the rest of the convention.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
It's over the Magic Word Podcast. That was Gonzalo, right?
Gonzalo, yes.
Haman. Okay, yeah, I remember him. Okay,
yeah.
Very good. This is Scotty out. So I got with me then now Tom Craven. We just finished a lecture. It was by Jason Ladany. Yeah, but you've been kind of hanging around just out here and people holding court. You've been having people come to you. This is Tom Craven. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, sort of. You might call it that.
Yeah. Well, because you're one of the, I say, old-timers. You've been around with the Red Coats back with Jeff Hostetter and all that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What are some of your great memories of this Magi Fest over the years?
The people.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, sure, I've seen a lot of good performers and performances, but it's these people. It's the people.
But you
I
know,
always enjoyed hanging out and teaching some things or doing something. So
you've always been known as Mr. Nice Guy.
Well,
you know, so.
I think people are nice just to say that, but I'm not sure it's accurate.
People are coming to see you all the time because you are a nice guy. You know?
Okay.
So anyhow, you've been enjoying the day here with people coming and saying hello?
I'm just here for today, that's all. Yeah, my wife has developed some dementia, and I can't leave her alone for any period of time. I've had two of my daughters and her daughter-in-law and my next-door neighbor looking after her today. So otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I told Josh in September I wouldn't be here. in January. And he said, why? And I said, well, first of all, I didn't realize she was going to come with this dementia thing. But I said, first of all, it's pretty expensive. And at my age, I don't need to spend all that money because I don't buy anything anymore anyway. And I said, and it'll be cold and snowy, and I don't want to go out and all of that. So anyway, Gary, my friend that brought me down, went to Josh's lecture in Cleveland two Saturdays ago. Yeah. And Josh said to him, look, Tom's been here for 58 straight years. Why don't you see if you can't talk him into coming down at least for a day, keep the streak going, and, you know, that'll...
Kind of like the 4F. You're the last guy standing.
I'm the only guy that's been to every Fechter's. Yeah.
Now, I was just talking to somebody recently about who's the next one, and I was thinking it was Dick Cook, possibly.
Dick Cook is next.
Okay.
Yeah. And Dick gets together. We have a Saturday group that gets together every Saturday. And Dick gets together with us at least two or three of those Saturdays. The other Saturday or Saturdays that he has to miss, he plays poker at some of the casinos. And he's a real student of poker. He can tell you he wins every time he goes to play. But anyway,
is that right?
Yeah, but Dick, I'll see Dick tomorrow. Our Saturday group will get together tomorrow. And I'll see him. But, yeah, he's next in line.
So have you been teaching some people some magic? I mean, like you normally do? I mean, everyone's coming in.
I haven't done much here today. I've sold some stuff today.
Did you? Got some of your books and things?
I've got some guys that came to me and said, I had you in Springfield, Illinois, lecture for our club a couple of times, and I see you're selling stuff now, and how could I find out what all you're selling? I said, well, a guy from Palm Springs, California just emailed me this week and said, I had you here a few years ago. The guys loved the lecture. I'd like to buy one of everything you're buying. And then he listed everything I'm buying and how much it was, and it came to $300.
Yeah.
Just close-up stuff.
Yeah.
And so the guys said to me, well, how can I get that list? And I said, well, give me your email address. When I get home, I'll mail you the list, and you can get whatever you want off the list. So, yeah, but I've sold some stuff here. I had a guy come up with two Linking Ring magazines and had me sign them.
Yeah. What year would that have been?
Huh?
What year was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember because it wasn't me on the cover. It had my column in the middle, the Craven Haven column, and I wrote that for 20 years. And so he had two of them. He didn't have the one with my cover, but Josh Jay signed his Craven Haven column. And he said, you should look for Tom sitting out in the lobby because he's out there and you can have him actually sign it.
Yeah.
So he came with two of them and had me sign them as well. So.
Wow. Now, I know you had the book. Was it 40, My Life of 40 Years of Magic, or what was that?
My Almost 50 Years of Magic, it was, yeah.
And did you have a sequel to that?
No. No sequel. The book came out in 2011.
Yeah.
I had 250 of them printed. And when they were gone, they were gone. And I was at the Battle of Magicians in Canton maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And Sean Farquhar and I were in the hall talking. And a kid walked up to me and said, I'd like to buy a copy of your book. And I said, I'm sorry, but it's sold out. I don't have any. So Sean said to me, but you're going to have it reprinted, right? And I said, wrong. Didn't want to go through all that again because I didn't think I'd ever get rid of 500 books, but my wife kept saying, you'll get rid of them, you'll get rid of them, and finally I got rid of them. So Sean said, how about selling me the rights to the book? So I said, okay. And he said, I'm going on a magic tour, and when I get back, I'll email you and give you a proposal. Well, I said, okay, good. So I figure he's going to offer me to buy the book, and maybe he'll give me 25 of them free because so forth and so forth. So anyway, he gets back. I get the letter in the mail from him, not an email. I got an actual letter from him in the mail, and it says, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to pay you $1,250 up front. That killed me. Because
more than you were expecting? Yeah.
No, wasn't expecting that at all. He said, in addition to that, I'll pay you a commission of 20% for every book that I sell.
How fair is that? What a great deal.
for 10 years after you die, so you have to tell me who to send the money to for that time. And I couldn't believe that either. I've never heard of that. And he said, and then I'll give you a 40% discount for all the books you need to buy to take out on your lectures to sell.
Yeah.
So that was the deal.
So they're back out again.
I couldn't believe any of that.
Yeah.
But it's happened.
Yeah. And how's he done with the sales on that, you know?
He's not selling a lot of stuff because he doesn't advertise it. But he has sent me some money, and I've had people that still come to me to buy the book, and I say, order it from Sean. I'm not going to worry about a commission for one book or whatever. So, but, you know, it's been a fun ride.
It has been. That's a way of summing up your life. It's been a fun ride, you know. It's got about mine, too. It's been a fun ride. I've enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, I can't tell anybody. I can't even measure the friends that I've made in magic. Not only in magic, but, you know, you make friends outside of magic, too. But my magic friends are my family. And I can't even explain to people how great that family is. I'm just...
All over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Anyway,
that's
well, Tom,
even Don Weiberg here. That's right. Well, Tom, thank you very much. It was good chatting with you, my friend. You take care.
You did this with me last year.
I did last year. Yeah, that's right, in September. But I thought, well, we need to do it again. Okay. So for the Magic Word Podcast, yeah, that was Tom Craven. Scotty out. And did you hear my lecture when I did my Zoom lecture?
I did. Yeah, it was
okay.
Wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. And you said this is your first magic convention in 10 years.
It is.
I mean, so.
First Magi Fest
of any. Yep. Why did you decide to come to this one then?
You know, one, it's close enough to Omaha, but two, I mean, how can you pass up an opportunity to see Vanishing Ink really at its best, right? I mean, you got Joshua Jay, Andy Gladwin, the whole staff's here.
But they did in September also.
That's true, but then when they mentioned that Darwin Ortiz was going to be the special guest, I was like, oh, I got to come see Darwin Ortiz.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing.
Darwin didn't come out very often. I've not seen him really at conventions.
Right. Exactly right. And he's literally what brought me out. I mean, how often is he going to, you know, I'm sure he's healthy and everything. I'm not going to get a chance to see too many more lectures. I don't know how many more opportunities I'll have to see him. So this was kind of one of those, you know. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, for sure.
I have attended conventions like that early on when I was thinking I've never seen this guy or that lady or whatever, so yeah. Then it's like that's what had done it when they're all together. Were there other people also, or mainly it was just Darwin?
He pulled me out here, but the lineup is incredible. You know, I don't get to see these people since I haven't been to a convention. I feel like I know these people because you get that thing where you follow them on Instagram and Facebook and all the social media. You feel like you know them. And then when you see them as a lineup, you're like, I'm going to go out there and see all these people firsthand. And everyone knows in magic, your celebrity stars, they're super accessible. And when I saw the lineup, I just couldn't pass it off. I mean, it's just...
Now, because you have, when you go to conventions, you start to see some of the same people, and they talk with you, you talk with them, because it is just a small community and everything.
Yeah.
And the more often you go, the more frequently, so you get to know people.
Sure.
By not coming very often, are you still kind of in awe of some people that saying, oh my gosh, you're like, here's David Williamson?
I'll tell you, when I first walked in, I got here at midnight on Wednesday night, I'm sorry. In the lobby was Jamie Ann Swiss and Mike Pesciotta. And I've met them both before at the Magic Castle years ago. They wouldn't know me. But it was just us three in there at midnight. And I was too starstruck to actually go back over and say, hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah.
Same thing. Next morning, I'm sitting at breakfast. There's Jackie. It's just me in the breakfast room because the convention hasn't technically started, right? It's Thursday morning. Jackie Yu, who I love, he's great. He's sitting there by himself. But I'm like, if I was him, do I want somebody to come and interrupt my breakfast? So I just was too starstruck to actually go say something. Knowing full well, those dudes are super nice. They would absolutely have talked to me. I was in awe a little bit too much. So
now I've been involved with some other activities here today, and I didn't get a chance to see the afternoon activities. This morning we had a couple of seminars.
Yep.
I saw the one with Pete McCabe and the one with Ken Weber. I'd forgotten who the third one was with. I believe it might have been Garrett Thomas. Which ones did you go to?
I saw Pete McCabe. You were in there. I was in there with you. And then I saw Garrett Thomas right after that. So wonderful.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
So Garrett was good?
Garrett was fantastic.
Was his hand-on thing, you know, because like with Pete McCabe, he had you actually...
It was like a workshop.
It was a workshop.
Yeah. No, you know, Garrett Thomas's was about creativity. Now, I think people went in there thinking it was going to be about how to be creative when you're developing a trick. But that's not Garrett Thomas, right? His creativity is about how can I be more creative in my presentation of almost like real magic, you know? So that's what it was. It was great. I love his thinking. I love the theory behind all that. And as we all know, every magician has too many tricks already.
Agreed. And I think Garrett's one of the best teachers because he will talk these little nuances and little moves or something in which you will be holding your hand a certain way. I mean, it's not just the trick, but also the subtleties that make it.
Why those nuances matter to the audience, not just to the magicians, but why am I holding my hand like this? Because I know all the eyesights of the audience. I know what they're looking for. Why do I take a step back? I'm letting them relax. I'm relaxed, they're relaxed. You know, just all those little things. It's great. Yeah, he's wonderful.
Like Kenning Mills would say is that attention to detail is the essence of showmanship.
Yeah,
and it's those little things. So I didn't go this afternoon to the activities because I was tied up. So what happened this afternoon?
Oh, let me think.
On your schedule there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to do it. Let's see. Well, they did the Magi Fest session, which was sort of a mashup of things. So I can't remember all the performers
now. I know Bernardo Sedlicek said he was going to do something.
He did something. He did about 15 minutes. They had a wonderful magician. I can't remember her name now. Great stuff. She did, you know, her presentations were very current to the present, you know, the 21st century. So she did Professor Nightmare. She used USB cables, and just all the patter was perfectly, I mean, it was just great. So it was a lot of classic stuff, but just the presentations were brought forward to the 21st century.
Now, were they performing, workshopping, or teaching,
performing.
Or just,
okay. Performing, yeah. I don't think there were any lectures. It was all performance. Pete McCabe actually did a whole thing on comedy. Not whether or not you should have it in your show, but here are the theories behind it. And so he went way back in time, and then, you know, basically talk through all different kinds of theories and why comedy works and three, you know, how to set up three phases for a joke and all that kind of stuff. And then Jason LaDainey, let's see.
Jason LaDainey was just now.
Yeah, so Dennis Baer was next. If you've never seen Dennis Baer, you know, he's just a wonderful performer anyways, but just technically he's out of this world.
He's from Germany. And he kind of has a, as I recall being around him, is just a low-key humor, you know, just kind of straightforward. And
yeah, it's very dry, you know, but he's super funny, and he's so technical. It's just, it's incredible. So then after him was Jason LaDainey, and then now Darwin Ortiz is about to kick it off. So
yeah, Darwin's kind of queuing up here shortly for Jason. That's going to be awesome. And like I said, I'm sure looking forward to it. I said, for Darwin.
Yeah. No, it's going to be wonderful. I mean, Strong Magic was probably one of the first books I ever bought. I went into a magic shop and said, hey, give me something that is not a bunch of magic tricks, but it's going to make my magic stronger. And he was like, it's literally in the title. Take that book, you know?
So that changed your life.
Oh, it changed my magic for sure, for sure.
Now, being in Omaha, which magic shop do you go to, or where do you go to up there?
So there are no magic shops, but there is a magic shop out in Des Moines. Is it Des Moines or South Dakota? I can't remember where it's at now, but
I think there is one in Des Moines, actually.
Travis Nye, wonderful magician, and I've only seen the shop virtually. We have done it. We recently did a field trip out there. We took a bunch of magicians, younger guys too, and they loved it. I didn't happen to get a chance to go, but virtually the shop's amazing. And he opened it right before the pandemic, and he's managed to get through it. It's got a beautiful theater, and he's happy when magicians come out. He's happy to let them get in there and perform and just do stuff. We've talked about maybe trying to do a club show publicly. He's just a super agreeable, super nice magician. So, yeah, it's wonderful.
And so that's where you kind of went. Well, did you go there with the intent, or did you just kind of stop by a magic shop?
So I haven't been there, but
I'm wondering about when you got your book, Strong Magic.
The very first magic shop that I fell in love with, it doesn't exist anymore, like a lot of brick and mortar. It was Williams Magic in Tucson, Arizona. Yep. And the owners were Nathalia and Emery Williams. And then they had a son who was also Emery. And he actually had a mobile magic shop. And he came through Omaha and maybe Iowa and stuff. So they're still around a little bit. But that was my first magic shop. That was where my mentor, you know, I met my mentor and all that stuff.
But my question is, I guess, were you brought in by going to a magic shop? Or were you brought into magic by actually going to a magic meeting to the Omaha group? Or so you saw a magician and then they said, hey, you need to...
Yeah, I've been doing, you know, I've been interested like everybody since I was a little kid. My grandfather did magic. As a young adult, I grew up in Alaska. We didn't have a magic shop. And so, you know, I would see some things, and we didn't have online back in the 70s and 80s, you know. So when I joined the military back in the 90s, Went to California, found my first magic shop, got really interested in it, and then my first duty station was Tucson, Arizona. And I literally just took a Yellow Pages, which is a book with a bunch of phone numbers and, you know, ads in it that we don't have anymore. But I flipped through there. Oh, my gosh, there's a magic shop. And basically live there all my free time after that, you know.
Is that how you ended up in Omaha then as well, in Papillion?
I got stationed off at Air Force Base, and then off and on over 10 years, I would just keep coming back to get stationed there. And eventually when I retired out of Australia, but I already owned a home in Omaha, so my plan was to always retire there.
Downtown Omaha, or where about?
I'm in Bellevue, actually.
Yeah, I lived in Papillion.
Yep, just like Papillion, yeah, so...
Well, interesting. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the convention here, and it's everything that you expected it to be. And
it's more than I expected it to be, yeah. I mean, I've been to conventions a long time ago, and they're always fun. I think 10 years is a different age group for me, so I was a lot different back then. Now I all these guys just doing their stuff, I just like to stand back and watch, you know.
What about the dealer's room?
I've spent so much money, Scott, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Your wife's not going to be listening to this.
You know what? No, she doesn't have to, because after every purchase, I send a text that says, sorry. So much wonderful stuff in there. The dealer's rooms are just crazy. It's mashing up a bunch of brick-and-mortar magic shops that don't exist anymore, all in one place. It's out of control.
Yeah, it used to be that I would make sure I had extra room in my baggage, I wasn't maxed out when I left home, so I'd have room to put things in as I returned.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. No, it's wonderful, yeah.
I'm just trying to encourage other people also to enjoy and these conventions, and I think other people should be coming to these as well. So
for sure, absolutely. Yeah. If you're a magician and you've never been to a big convention, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, thanks for attending this convention. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm glad that you
do. Wonderful. Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
You bet. So for the Magic Word Podcast here from Columbus, and we're getting ready to go in to see Darwin Ortiz, the one he was waiting for. That was Jared Schogard. Schogard. Well, I'm so good at getting close to that. This is Scotty out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.